Greetings from Overdone. It's the day, at least here, the night before. Tomorrow is Gopashtami, the first day that Krishna took out the cows. That's such a significant pastime. Because before that pastime, Krishna was Kumar. He was too young to take out the calves, the cows. So Gopashtami is when he was given the cows. And very significant because before then, Krishna couldn't wander in the Vrindavan forest. You see, when you're given the calves can't go very far from the cows. So couldn't go very far. And also, he wasn't mature enough yet for the developed relationship with the gopis. And the residents of Vrindavan hadn't yet really experienced deep separation from him. So now he went to the forest. So that's tomorrow. And I was personally invited by Erkadamba Baba at near Nandagram. And he said that the whole Nandagram village comes with all their cows. Because that Erkadamba is the place where Krishna actually went to graze the cows, to take care of the cows. So that day, he said, all the villages around Nandagram take the cows, and they dress up, and it's Radha and Krishna. And so, let's see if I can make it over there tomorrow. Okay, so now let me tell some Govardhan Leela today. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yeah, but tell Ananda Manjari that somehow or other our schedule got late. Ask her if she'll still be up at 8:30. Yeah. Okay, she'll do it on her own. Okay, she's also welcome to come if she wants to hear. She knows that? You can tell her whatever she wants, but I'll tell her, Arj said that he's giving the Bhagavad, you know, the thing, so he can't come. So she can do the Damodar Astakam, and then she wants, she doesn't have to, okay? So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Text 13. 1 second. Okay, good. Okay. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Karmana Jayate Jantu, Karmana Vapaliyate, Sukham Dukham Bayam Shemam, Karmanaiva Vipadyate. Lord Krishna said, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth. It is by karma alone that he meets his destruction, his happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security. All arise from the effects of karma. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Raksudam Lutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nichaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napritam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantitam Adadanas Chanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Madhupa Padam Bhoja Vilisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Bhakti Rishanti Atnai Apayama Manabit Samantam Apambuhiya Paraduka Duki Anasanastam Prabhu Mastriyami Pancha Kalpa Taru Vyascha Asindu Baye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Nadebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Priyadvaita Gadara Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Again, let me apologize a little bit for being late, but I did not know it was daylight savings time, so I had called earlier and didn't get through. And I think people know I'm quite perseverant, but the one thing that really disturbs me is when I can't speak Krishna Katha when I'm supposed to. Oh, I was so upset. But I guess I really feel here that just Giriraj answers your prayers, because somehow or other, I just, Lucky sent me a message that they like savings time. So I'm with you, but I'm very happy about that. So I think one thing we can do with this Govardhan story, which is to, because we'll hear it every week, and we'll have more and more details of the pastime. So last year I would call it our smarin hats, our remembrance and remembering hats. It's one of the items of the book too much. So let's remember Krishna. And boy, Jampabu, when he has his Govardhan retreats, which will be in a few, a couple of weeks here, he asks devotees, he said, everyone should have their own Krishna. And Krishna is so kind that he manifests to us. Even if there are a billion cowherd boys taking prasadam with Krishna, everyone is having personal relationship with him. Because he's the Supreme Lord, and he can, he's not restricted in reciprocating the love of his devotees. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, even the sense of our deity, we have a sense of possessiveness, mamata, in our devotion. It's my Krishna. You should have your own Krishna, and your Krishna should have the harpitam, not the varavapu, karniyo karnika. He should be very graceful. The harpitam, he has a peacock feather. He has very beautiful yellow tulips over his hair, bibrad vishad, kanika kapi sam. He has golden kanika kapi sam, golden. Vaijayanti chamalam, you should have made him a garland, should hang down to his knees, and should have five varieties of fragrant forest flowers. So that's your Krishna. And in this particular pastime, Krishna wakes up. He's not actually at home at this pastime, but I guess he's with his family. And he wakes up and he sees that his family. Now, in remembering the pastime, try to remember the mood of Krishna, what he's seeing, what his devotees are feeling, and what does Krishna see? He sees Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan preparing this elaborate puja. You should see how busy it is with all the various residents of Vrindavan are there, and they're preparing a puja for Indra, and Krishna is especially upset. Because Krishna is both sarvajna and mudgata. He's both all-knowing and forgetful at the same time. In Vrindavan, he lets his lila shakti, his pastime potency, rule. Bhurijan explained this is very nice, that part of pleasure is surprises. Part of ras, emotional experiences that lead to love, is surprises. So for surprise, you have to be in a bit of ignorance. Have to not know. So Krishna turns over his activities because he has unlimited potency to do the shakti. That would mean that Krishna couldn't have a surprise party, and we can have a surprise party. So, but he's mudgata, but he's also sarvajna. He's also all knowing, and whatever serves rasa is the consciousness that he manifests, and rasa is perfect love. And that's what exists eternally. Vasa-vaisa. What exists eternally? Well, there's God. And God can do whatever he wants, and he wants to enjoy, and he enjoys the way he wants to enjoy, and that's love, and that's exchange with his devotees. And when does he want that? He wants it always. It's eternal. It's beyond time. So that's the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is that height of love, which is constantly churning by the lilo of pastimes of Krishna. And that's what we aspire for. And that's what we're not experiencing now. But when we realize God, we discuss this, and you have knowledge and understanding of God, and therefore you can focus your consciousness on that absolute reality, whom you have a relationship with, you will experience love. It's just a love born in your heart. That's reality. That's the goal. The goal is to be free from ignorance, understand God, serve God, and therefore experience that love to him, which merges us into eternal transcendence. And that's Vrindavan. And that's what we're hearing about. The lila and the pastime, the churning of absolute ultimate love. But Krishna wakes up. He sees this. He loves the residents of Vrindavan. But he's a little bit upset. Why are they, his own family, when Krishna has come to establish exclusive devotion, why are they worshiping anyone else but the Supreme Lord and his holy abode? And then Krishna begins to ask questions, wants to know why they're doing this, and the details of it. And thus he reasons that when you're doing any activity, the purpose of the activity is transformation of consciousness. And obviously, if you do something in full cognizance of knowledge, the transformation is greater. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the sacrifice of knowledge is greater than the sacrifice of works. When you just make sacrifice, but without understanding, you become purified. When you have full knowledge and understanding, the purification is greater. So he pleads with his father to explain to him what they're doing. And then he finally asked the question to his father, is the sacrifice you're doing according to the scriptures, or is it just customary? Or is it just customary? And his father looks at him, I mean, just this beautiful child, all attractive. His lotus eyes, his color, nature of his voice. There's a description in Madhurya Kandambani when the soul finally reaches perfection. And when he reaches perfection, all of a sudden he wakes up in the spiritual world and he sees Krishna, whom he's developed an eternal relationship with. Today, I went over to Radhakund to go to Mahanidhi's class, and he was actually discussing his book, Bhajan Rahasya, and it was up to, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's How He Would Worship. And it was up to the fifth verse of the Shikshastakam, which represents the stage before love of Godhead begins to develop, called Asakti. Attachment. And he was reading these verses of attachment. And it was very, very, very clear. That our eternal form of relationship with Krishna, it will come from our sentiment towards Krishna, our love for Krishna, from the bhava or devotion. That will, and that's described even in the Bhagavatam when they describe Krishna blowing the flute and the different types of gopis. Some gopis come from the material world, right? Sadhana Siddhi gopis. And how did they come? They achieved up to bhava, which is the beginning of prema bhakti, or love of Godhead, and therefore they get a form in Krishna's pastimes. And this is actually how we develop our eternal form in relationship with Krishna, by developing the devotion. And Krishna is so attractive that the gopis were meditating on his form. They were talking about his lotus eyes and his garland and his... And this is our process. If we hear about Krishna's nam, guna, rupa, lila, if we hear about his name, his qualities, his form and past, this is the process. This is what the gopis were doing. And from that, the love in their heart swells. And when that love matures, it brings them to the darshan of Krishna. And this is the process. He asks his father, and his father looks at him, and he tells his son, this is customary activity. I mentioned in the last class that custom in a proper culture is not an ordinary thing. It's how the truths of the scriptures manifest in the world practically. Of course, sometimes tradition may not purely represent Shastra, but an intelligent person in a proper culture, he can see the tradition and he can see the application of the eternal principles of truth. So Indra says very, very humbly, Nanda Maharaj tells his son that we're worshipping Indra, who's the god of rain, and just like we get nourished by milk, well, we take care of the cows, dependent on the rains. And the rains come what? Yeah, from rains. Anad bhavanti bhutani sarjanye anasambhava. What is that from? Is it from, what's that? Yeah, what it mean from all living beings subsist on food grains. Food grains come from rain. Rain comes from sacrifice. Sacrifice comes from our prescribed activities in the Shastra, you know, which is spoken by God, and therefore the all-pervading transcendence is there in acts of sacrifice. It's rain, and he's just explaining everything is nourished by the rain. And even if we're to even offer anything to him, it's coming from things that are nourished by the rain. So this is the real essence of this story. And I was explaining yesterday that I was explaining the last class, I'll just get, if you look at the consciousness of the Brijbasis, what is the essence of Braja Bhakti? We're all aspiring for spontaneous devotional service. So we should study the resonance of Vrindavan. What does Raganuga Bhakti mean? Raganuga Bhakti means spontaneous devotion. Is that by hearing of the resonance of Vrindavan, you develop some inspiration to have their devotion. So this is actually the process of developing Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. We hear about the resonance of Vrindavan. And we learn about it, but we can learn one thing. Even though they're very simple, see how grateful they are. It's the seed of Shastra. You should be grateful for what you are getting. You're grateful when you receive mercy. We're completely dependent on the rain. And higher beings provide things. It's a fact. That's why, a rural community can be good if it's a spiritual life, because I'm dependent on God. I told that story. I was driving on Route 87, the highway in New York. I was at Chaitanya Swami. We were going up to Albany. And we stopped, and there was some lady. She was selling her goods. And I naturally, I was buying some honey or some fruits or whatever she grows on her farm, started talking to me, and she said, you know, I used to be a stockbroker. And she said, I'll tell you one thing, this farming is much harder. Because it's the only profession where you're completely dependent on God for the rains. It's good to be dependent on God. We are dependent on God. But to be simple people where you can actually daily be reminded of that. And not only be grateful, but naturally want to respond. In Prabhupada's disappearance festival in Govardhan, I went, and Satchinandana Swami spoke. And he talked about responsibility. And he divided it, our ability to respond. In what? In relationship. So you respond. And he was describing, and he was reading some instructions Prabhupada gave to us about living in Vrindavan. He said, if you are responsible, you will respond. How? By following those instructions. By feeling grateful for those instructions. So a simple, ordinary man is responsible. He responds properly in relationships, and when he's receiving mercy, he's grateful. So the Brijbasis, that's the essence of humility. Essence of a simple heart. Be grateful. Even I remember one time in Dallas, Texas, I was in a lecture by Prabhupada, and he asked, are there any questions? And one tall Texan devotee, a very big people, stood up. And he said, Prabhupada, how can we repay you? Prabhupada said, just remain obliged. And one of the qualities of Krishna that an ordinary living being can have is gratefulness. And it's described that Krishna is so grateful that he went to Draupadi. And he said to Draupadi, because we know that when Draupadi was being disrobed in the assembly of the Kauravas, and Krishna was, she was holding onto a sari, but these were big, powerful warriors that were trying to disrobe her, such a chaste lady, it would be like death. The stories of the Rajputs, the kings in Rajasthan, there's famous stories that when the Mughals came and they were going to rape the women, Kshatriya families, they entered into the fire. In other words, that would be worse than death for them. So Draupadi, when she was being disrupted, she finally she had to depend completely on Krishna. Threw up both her hands and she said, "Hey, Govinda." Krishna later said to her, "Because you have chanted my name once, I am eternally grateful." So Krishna has that quality. The Brijbasis have that quality. And then, and this is the essence of this story I explained there with Indra. Because what was Indra's fault? It just shows that he had a sense of entitlement. In other words, when you're in a position of authority, you do it as a service. But the tendency is to feel deserving due to the sense of false ego or superiority. And this is Indra. He's a devotee. He's doing this service, and therefore he gets this position. Demigods are servants of the Supreme Lord, the universal government, and they have cabinet posts. But Indra was feeling entitlement. And that's always the danger of position. I always tell the story when I was first deciding whether I should take disciples or not. and I wasn't really sure, and I went to this one sadhu, learned sadhu, and I asked him what I should do. And we discussed it, and then he said, no, you should do it. And he said to me, but don't think you're a guru. Do it as a service to your spiritual master. So it's a service. Whatever position we have, it's a service to God. Whether we're a teacher, whether we're a parent, whether we're the head of a government, it's a service to God. But if you take it rather than being a service, that you're in the position of enjoyer and controller, and therefore you have an entitlement to the respect that goes in that service for yourself, independent of the service, or your ahankara, ego, then to advance in spiritual life, Krishna has to remove that. And we see that in the histories of spiritual movement, because people take positions of authority for service. But if in that service they come under the illusion that rather than service, the purpose of it is to serve themselves as a authority, and there's some entitlement, and spiritual. So therefore, Krishna has to purify his devotee. And two things actually happen. Krishna's purifying his devotee, and Krishna is using his devotees to establish the exclusive devotion to himself. So let me just go over these verses. So to stop the sacrifice, Krishna wants to use a philosophy to show that it's not, you don't have to worship the demigods. Now, the real philosophy that you don't have to worship the demigods is because the demigods are just representatives of Krishna. But if you worship them, then your other duties are, it's like you water a root of a tree, all the leaves and branches are replenished. But Krishna wants to establish exclusive devotion to himself. But to establish it, you don't have to worship the demigods, preaches this other philosophy called Karmavad, Karma Mimamsa. And the purpose of him preaching this philosophy is he stops the yajna by preaching the philosophy, but at the same time, he gets to expose this philosophy. Because many people have this philosophy. And what is that philosophy? It's by your own effort alone that the fruits of your activities come, and that you're not dependent on God. In fact, this is very interesting. Even in our bhakti or devotion, the story of Narada Muni, when he's a young boy, and then he performed these austerities, and then he began to perform, he began to practice sadhana, and he actually got sakshat darshan. That means he directly saw Krishna. And then Krishna disappeared. So then he tried the same process. Same exact process, and Krishna wouldn't appear. And the reason, Prabhupada explained, the reason Krishna wouldn't appear, right, is because it's not just effort. The effort has to be combined with a sense of dependence. Even if your sadhana effort becomes that I will be the cause of Krishna to appear. In other words, if your activities develop this ahankara, this sense of false ego, I will cause Krishna to appear. Then, and that's the whole Damodar Lila here we have in Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda tried to tie up Krishna to punish him. And every time she would get some ropes that they tie the cows, it would be 2 inches too short, 2 inches too short. 2 inches too short, 2 inches too short. She was laboring so hard. And finally, Krishna allowed her by him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, what is the 2 inches that is too short? 1 inch of not attaining Krishna is a lack of effort, and the other is a lack of mercy. It's perfect. Her effort. She was working. But it's not the work. But when the work demonstrated her sincerity and devotion and her utter helplessness and her utter dependence on Krishna, then the mercy came. And that's the practice of Krishna consciousness. We're chanting. Prabhupada said we should chant like a child who is crying for his mother. Dependent. So the effort has to express our dependency. But there's a philosophy that the effort alone, the work alone, will achieve its success. And if you develop that philosophy, then the work, rather than becoming an expression of the dependent devotee, becomes an expression of the ego. And it cannot achieve success. So then you'll work until you'll see, I'm not the controller. Oh Krishna, now please appear, I am helpless, I need your mercy. That's different when you start out by chanting, right? By chanting my thing, that my mantra will bring Krishna. Our chanting, our spiritual practices are an expression of our dependence. And if that mood is not there, it will not bear the fruit. Because bhakti is sudurabha. It's very difficult because you need Krishna's mercy to attain it. Therefore, our process has to be combined with humility. So this karma mamamsa here, it's actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, it describes the philosophy which is detested by saintly people. Because you don't need God, you just need work. And I told once that I had a visual experience of this philosophy. I was visiting an astrologer in Jaipur. And his guru came in. And it was the archetype Brahmin. I explained, pressed white dhoti and kurta, very portly. But it looked like that was his natural shape. It couldn't be any other shape. He had rings on every finger and flowing gray hair. And when he saw me as a Vaishnava, one who believes that everything is dependent on God's mercy, he looked at me and he said, what is your bhakti? And he named this yajna. By this type of yajna, and then he named the constellation where you perform it. By this type of yajna, on the Swati Nakshatra, all perfection comes. What is your bhakti? They believe like that. So Krishna's preaching that, but why is he preaching that? Because he wants to stop Indra's worship. And what is his philosophy? You don't need the gods. You just work and success will come. So Krishna, he's just so kind. He wants to remind his devotees not to divert attention to other gods. He speaks this philosophy. And it's interesting because these philosophies, this karma mamamsa, this work and success will come. It's very interesting because it comes from the Vedic culture. It's kind of atheism because you say you don't need God, but it's mixed with reincarnation. Because it's understood that the results and the fruits have come from previous life. You work and something will come. The fruits will come. So Krishna tells him. Because Krishna is reading the minds, then he's thinking, oh, now I know what they're going to think when I preach this philosophy. How can the fruits be from karma? Because karma is inert. There must be a supreme controller. So then Krishna tells his parents, well, Well, even if there is a supreme controller, still, he's dependent upon a person's activity. Because you can't bestow the fruits of an activity unless the fruit of that is performed. And anyway, it's interesting. I think I'm going to skip this section because I don't have time to go over it, but Krishna actually presents many, many philosophies. And then finally says that it really, so then the question may come, but everything needs a deity. Krishna says, well, our deity is your work. From your work, the fruits come. The swabhav. It comes from your work. And what is our work? We're vaishyas. What type of vaishyas? Take care of the cows. Just do agricultural work. We don't even do agriculture. We just take care of the cows. I mean, it's so nice, this young boy preaching this beautiful philosophy, and wrong philosophy, but still he's speaking. Anyway, somehow or other today, just because it was a different time and I already spoke for an hour, I was starting off a little bit, but we'll get into the Govardhan Leela the next class. I won't go over all these verses on Karmavan and things like that, but I should say one thing because one point comes up. There's a difference between karma, destiny, and free will. Very interesting. Destiny is what happens to you. You can't change that. Or while it's happening with you, you can't change it. Free will is how you react to it. So let's say you're supposed to be wealthy due to your past activities. So you can't help it, right? Somehow or other you'll get an inheritance or you'll win the lottery, right? You can't help it. But free will means how will you use that money? You can use it to charity or you can use it to sinful activities. And as soon as you react to your destiny, you immediately change your future. Or you determine your future. In other words, free will determines your future. So even if something's happening to you now, you can change the next moment by how you react to it. You may not be able to change the sickness. You may not be able to change the happiness that comes. But you can completely change the circumstance by how you respond to it. Even if something's coming upon us, we can change it. In other words, Prabhupada said we have a material and spiritual destiny. So you can change the quality of your circumstance by how you respond. Or I would say this, some things you can't change at all and some things you can. Anyway, somehow or other, it's a little bit late here and I'm not used to this, but why don't I stop for today and we'll really get into the Govardhan Leela and how the residents of Vrindavan respond with each other, etc. next week. And I'll be prepared at this particular time to speak. Anybody have any question?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
It's Mahamuni. Please come on a little bit.
Hey, Mahamuni. Hi, Bo.
Thanks so much for a great class. I appreciate it. My question is that I found it kind of noteworthy that in order to remove what Krishna considers a wrong philosophy or approach, namely worshiping the demigods kind of independent from Krishna, to do that, he espouses a much worse and much more demoniac philosophy, which is the atheism of karma and mimamsa. And it seems a little strange, I mean, to me, right? I don't know. I wanted to ask you, how do you understand that kind of tactic? You know, because it just seems kind of interesting. I mean, the karma mimamsa, they're like Buddhists. You know, they're like real. They're serious atheists. You know,
We know in Bhagavad Gita that at the end, what is it? I haven't studied that for a while, but in the end of the fifth chapter, Krishna brings up the Yoga Nidra Bhakti so he can explain it fully and then explain the superiority of bhakti. So I think, as far as I'm understanding here, that to develop your relationship with Krishna, you have to have sambandha jnana. That means you have to have discriminatory knowledge. And to have the right and there are popular misconceptions. So if they're not dealt with, then you may fall sway to them. Sometimes you have to be inoculated. You know, and it's a very, very serious path. Krishna wants to explain exclusive devotion. This is such a common philosophy in India. So I was looking at it this way. In one sense, you know, there's like a more demoniac, very heavy version of it, but just the version that work is worship. Like you tell people to worship God, and you'll see it so many in India. I just do my duty. Now, it's fine. You know, because it is purifying, and it is responsible, and it is dharmic. But it's not going to lead to the ultimate goal. And Krishna wants to give the ultimate goal of pure devotional service. You know, and pure devotional service means to the supreme absolute reality, and you have to understand his position. Otherwise, why will you serve him? So therefore, you know, you'll see here, well, what? You'll see first is Brahma Vimohan Lila. Right? So he becomes exposed. And there's Indra here. He becomes exposed. And then various philosophical misconceptions also have to be exposed. Because this is such a common one that one could take to. In other words, that you're not dependent on God. It's all your effort. It's the Protestant work ethic, right? Work hard and you'll be a success, which is good. It's part of the success formula. It's just like these. It's almost like these self-developed help books, right? You know, Anthony Robbins and things like this, and all. You know, if you do this, you know, the law of success, Napoleon Hill, you know, and if you do this, you will be successful. It's like a law that's dependent and simply on your hard work, but it's not, right? It's not dependent just on your hard work. It's also dependent on your karma and God's mercy. You know, so I think it's very important that these kind of philosophical things kind of get exposed. And at the same sense, it's very charming that Krishna's just using this. He's saying we don't need the demigods, but he's giving the wrong reason why. Because they're not supreme. They're not supreme. And he says they're not. And then there's that verse. What is it? Karmani nirdahati kintu chabhati bhaja. What is it? It says from Indra. Actually, it mentions in that verse in Brahma Samhita. From Indra down to the Indra Gopa, the smallest thing. Everyone is bound by this law of karma. But if you perform bhakti, so I think I would say perhaps it's just Krishna using the philosophy, and I would speculate perhaps that it's good to expose it, to see what it says. as. And I think also for devotees, I think it's very, very important not to get in that consciousness that it's just my effort or work alone. Because that puts her, that creates a hunkar in your practices. And it has to be that sense that even I'm practicing, it's dependent on God. Moody, anything else? What? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I really appreciate. Sorry?
Yeah. I need help today.
I really appreciate your explanation. In a way, I think for us as practicing devotees, we have to keep in mind that attitude that it's really ultimately going to be Krishna's grace. I guess one kind of subordinate question I have, if we do understand that Krishna is kind of just using this crummy philosophy for a certain, first of all, he's going to, as you said, he's going to show that that is wrong, but he's also using it to kind of dislodge his audience from the view that he doesn't want them to have. It seems like, you know, he might, another way to see it, which they're both, they're not contradictory, but another way is he's using this wrong philosophy to kind of dislodge his audience from a view that he thinks that he wants them to move beyond.
That they may possess.
Right, like the demigod kind of focus.
Yeah, I guess it's so prominent in India. You know, but that is so prominent. That kind of work is worship, I think. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of looking for this one thing that Prabhupada said in the purport. I hope I can keep the audience because it's so powerful and explains this so nicely. I'm almost there. Pretty sure I'll get it. One second. Okay, here it is. Right. This is what Prabhupada says about Narada Muni, because he tries to attain the Lord. He says, Muni thought, let me read this, please follow this. It says, the sun rises of his own accord, so also the Lord is pleased to be present out of his causeless mercy. One should simply await the opportune moment and go on discharging his prescribed duty and devotional service of the Lord. Narada Muni thought the Lord can be seen again by the same mechanical process which was successful in the first attempt. But in spite of his utmost endeavor, he could not make the second attempt successful. The Lord is completely independent of all obligations. He can be simply be bound up by the tie of unalloyed devotion. Nor is he visible or perceived by material senses. Now listen to this sentence. It says, when he, that's God, pleases, being satisfied with the sincere attempt of devotional service, depending completely on the mercy of the Lord, then he may be seen out of his own accord. So God is satisfied with the sincere attempt. But what type of attempt? The attempt which is completely depending on his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he may be seen. Then he may be achieved. But the effort one does is expressing his dependence. Anyway, something like that. Okay. Thank you, Mooney.
Thank you, Marsh.
Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
What was that purport, Maharaj, you just read?
Oh, that's from chapter 6. Of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explaining why Narada Muni couldn't achieve the Lord despite his effort the second time. The first time he saw the Supreme Lord, then he tried to see him again by the same process. It didn't work because he was performing the process mechanically without a sense of dependence. He was performing it with some ahankara, that my effort alone will achieve this. I am the controller.
First chapter six. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Gail?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Yes,
what was your question?
Yes, I think it's a quick question about referring to
when you were talking about the difference between destiny and free will, I just wanted to confirm that even things like sinful desires and even pious desires that come up in a person's mind, those are also destiny that we cannot do anything about, although we have the free will as to decide how we respond to those desires that we cannot do anything about.
Well, we're under modes, and according to our karma, our modes respond in different ways. And and what are the modes? The modes are desires. In other words, goodness is a particular desire, passion is a particular desire, ignorance is a particular desire. So yes, when it comes, but of course we can create that desire immediately also. By, doing the wrong thing, it will create the desire, so that's kind of like an immediate karma. You can do something wrong and then, you can't just say, oh, this came of it. We cause it. So it, the reaction we may get, which the desire we may have may be coming from even a previous life, or it may be coming from something we did just, a few minutes ago. So your question was? And our free will, basically, if it's a sinful desire, our free will is to neglect it. And then there's that famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Tvantakatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam. What is that? To be steady in your devotional service, Yesham Tvantakatam Papam Jananam, and you become purified. So how do you become purified of all those desires? Well, by tapasya. And what does tapasya mean? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, you do what's right. That's the basic tapasya. If you're a devotee, what's your tapasya? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, you engage in your devotional service. And therefore, when the desires come up, they're neglected. And eventually, you're purified of them. And a life of that type of practice purifies the heart. As long as you don't put more and more in. We can react to that, right? Very much how we live our life now is going to determine a lot what desires are going to be manifest in our life, obviously. And here's another thing also, is let's say you have a very strong desire, but you're religious. But from the past, something comes up. But you're religious, so your mind is trained already to neglect the impulses. So when that impulse comes up, you won't feel it as much. That's another thing. You won't feel that impulse as much. And on the other hand, if you're not religious, and you're actually indulging in that same desire again and again, when the karmic reaction comes from that same activity in the past, you'll become completely carried away. So in one sense, the desire may come up, but if you're practicing spiritual life, how you feel it will be minimized tremendously. Okay, Gail?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Ram Maharaj.
Who is this?
Yoga.
Who is this? Yeah, who is this?
Yugala. Yugala from Israel.
Oh, nice to hear you, Yugala. You must be up early.
Yes.
How early are you up?
Pardon?
What time is it there?
5 p.m.
It's 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're not.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I finally made it. So, just wanted to say Haribo.
Maybe
thank
you should call me there. Give you my number, okay?
Okay. I didn't hear that.
You should call me. about maybe coming to Puri or that. I'll send you my number. Don't call me here. Okay?
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Anastasia calling.
Oh,
it's another sister.
Yeah, Nick and another sister. Okay. You stay on the line and speak to you for a little while, okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the class.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopa Kishore.
Gopa Kishore, congratulations.
Okay, you heard?
My letter?
No, I haven't checked. Was it an email?
Okay.
Or,
I immediately sent the letter, but...
I haven't been on the computer.
She's
good. She'll be coming home tomorrow.
Okay.
And all the babies are doing well, though. They'll probably be here a couple weeks, though.
They'll take a couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe sooner, but that's probably average. How long?
I have an audience here. She's a father. Wife just gave birth to 3 children. Kishore, Aishiva, and Priya. Hey, go, Kishore.
Yes.
Priya weighs the most, right?
Yeah, Priya was 5 pounds, 3 ounces.
Like New Jersey, huh?
Yeah, she's a New Jersey girl. She looks like a New Jersey girl.
They're all heavier than the men there.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Charu Chandra.
Who, Charu?
Yes, Hare Go.
Oh. Hi, Charu Chandra. Hare Krishna. Thanks for coming on the Sangha today.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Then we will end for today. Okay? Anastasia, you stay on. Okay? Pancha Kalpa Turubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Inanam Padanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Namah. Bye.